All right. Let's get ourselves together here very quick. All right. Tonight we will continue our series with winners. Just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. I battled cancer, and I always concerned I went to see my oncologist this week, and she said everything was good. My blood work was good. Everything was normal. And she asked me, said, how long was that? I said, well, it's been 6 years, going to 7 years ago. And she said, well, you want to do that once a year? I said, no. I feel comfortable. Come chat with you every 6 months, you know, and do a blood work. You have to understand, I can't explain it. You might think it's silly. And I'm trusting the Lord with this. It's I don't know what it is. It's just any little pain, any little ache, you think right away, your mind goes to that. Oh, maybe I have this. It's not like I'm not trusting God. I'm also human, you know. Yep. And any little thing you think about, oh, maybe you have your knee hurts. It's like, oh, I got bone cancer now. It's I don't know how to explain it. And I believe that any other person have cancer, probably or had cancer, goes the same thing. So I'm just to share with you. I am thankful. I was praising the Lord. I came out of the office. I was singing praises to God all the way down to my car, you know, for His goodness. And I did. And I was already praising Him in front of her. But anyway, but it's good. So this coming Saturday, I will go to see the eye doctor. I was telling Brother Eric, I could come here and I could glance at my iPad and see exactly what was in there. I cannot see that any longer. I don't know why. I'm having a hard time even looking at it. So I need to go see the eye doctor and get a test, see if I really need glasses. But anyway, I don't want to feel bad for me. It's just a weirdness. Anyway, so if you could stand and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. And tonight we're going to look at, we continue our series, Winners, and tonight we're going to look at family business can be painful, all right? Family business can be painful. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 10 is in the New Testament. And I'm looking as you're looking, so it's good. And it says there, look at verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another build thereon. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. For if any man build up on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's works abides with which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. It gives us so much assurance, Lord, that we are your children. Oh, Lord, of the rewards that we will have when we get to heaven. Lord, help us to stay faithful to you, to stay the course. And, Lord, to trust you in every step that we take in this life. I pray, Father, if there's someone watching us tonight on social media or even here, Lord, and never received Christ as Savior, may they look up to you today and ask you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we continue to look at this series, Winners. I want you to understand, as Christians, we're not losers. You know, we are winners. Some people want to call you a loser. That's what they want to call you. I think it's a degrading word to call somebody. But anyway, people do that. But we're not losers. We are winners. You say, well, I don't feel like a winner today. You know, I was watching a soccer game today, and it was a tie anyway. But anyway, but sometimes when they come out of the battlefield, that's the soccer stadium, they come out of the battlefield, some of them, even though the taste of winning is there, they're pretty hurt. And the next day on Monday, this bone hurts and that hurts and they're not walking properly because they're sore from the day before. I played sports. I know how it is. The next day, you don't feel like a winner. You feel like I'm beaten down. But anyway, but we in the Christian life is the same way. Sometimes we don't feel like winners because life is hard. We are hurting. Physically, emotionally, like I was saying this morning, but we are hurting. But there's one thing. It doesn't take the truth that we are winners. We are on the winning side. We are on the Lord's side. So we are living in, are we living in the last days? Yes, we are. We are living in the last days. We are living in a church age, parentheses, before the Lord comes. But we are living in the last days. There are many, or are there, let's say the question, is there any indication that will cause us to think that way? Yes. And we look at the condition of our world, that things are speeding up so quickly. Or we can say, yes, we are living in the last days. And the signs are right before our very eyes. Will Jesus come today? So come, Lord Jesus. Will Jesus come tomorrow? So come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I mean, he's going to come. That's not a matter of like, believe it or not. Jesus is coming again. The Bible has declared that, and declared that in such a way that we have to believe it. Jesus said he promised us that he will come again. And that's the hope of the Christian church, and is our Savior will come again. So many preachers believe that because of the condition of our world that we are living in the last days. Actually, we've been living the last days since Jesus went up to heaven. We live in the last days. Actually, if you look what's going on in our world, you can see that what's happening around us is happening, like I said, very rapidly. So the stage is being set for the coming of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Is anything preventing the coming of Jesus? No. He can come, he can show up in the scene at any given moment. And let me tell you, what a day that will be. Amen. When we meet our Savior in the air. Now, when it comes to the last days, we must be careful that we do not, like many others in the past have done, to come out with some calculation and dates and that biblically is not accurate. They come out with these things and they fall on their face every time. But you know what they're doing? They're giving a black eye to Christianity.
Yep, that's right.
Because we look at those things, we say, why in the world are you saying that? Then you have the mockers come along and making jokes about it. And you say, oh, don't you follow that guy? I was like, no, I don't have no affiliation with that guy. So Jesus can come, like I said, this very hour, and or can come 50 years from now. Now, tonight we're going to look at family business. Family business can be a pleasant thing, or can be a very unpleasant thing. Now, you know, sometimes when families, the parents pass away and there's all this stuff left behind, the family have to sit together. And sometimes it's peaceful and everybody, and sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it is not good. But this case right here, it will be no fights. It will be nothing of that. But it will be family business one day. When Jesus returns to his church in the rapture, the world will be thrown into a great tribulation. But while this is happening on earth, there will be a great event that will be taking place in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ and a marriage supper of the Lamb. So, earth's going to have what earth always wanted. No God, no Holy Spirit, no God's people. Everybody's gone. They have what they're going to have what they always want, but we, I include myself because I know I'm saved, we be in the judgment seat of Christ in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, some people don't like that word, the judgment seat of Christ. Seems like a judgmental thing. Like, oh, we were going to be judged? No. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for that. This is an event that is spoken of several passages in Scripture. This event right here, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. These passages, along with the passage we are looking tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. Every child of God will stand before the Lord, Jesus Christ, and give an account of their service to the Lord. Now think about it. They will give an account of their service to the Lord. Not their sin. You follow that? You say, well, all my sin will be exposed for the whole family. Oh, I don't want to be there. No, no. Your sin is not going to. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. Amen. Your sin has been forgiven. So don't think, don't be fearful. So that judgment seat of Christ, I don't know about that. Because my no sin there. It's family business. Okay? There's nobody putting finger on anybody. It's just family business. It's just the Lord's going to reward us for our service to Him. It is on that day that the fruits of the journey of every Christian journey will be rewarded. It is in that day when we may hear the Lord say, many of us will hear say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." These passages reveal three aspects of that great day that we Christians need to notice. Let us look at this from several points tonight. Number one, a time of family disclosure. See this from verse 10 to verse 13 here in our passage. Paul describes the Christian life as a building. He tells us in this passage that he laid the foundation, but it is our responsibility and duty to build that foundation. It is our duty to build it correctly. Note in verse 11 makes it clear that this family disclosure is an event that is for believers only. All right? The people that go to heaven are only believers. No unsaved person will ever enter into heaven. That's why the urgency of the gospel, why we tell people about the gospel, why we give tracts, why we have these social media thing, we try to get ourselves out there so people can hear the gospel and accept Jesus as Savior. Because hear me well. If you're affiliated to a church, if your name is there, if you've been baptized, whatever it is, and you think that will take you to heaven, you are making a big mistake.
Right.
No one goes to heaven by those things. The Bible does not tell us that if you are a Baptist, you're going to heaven. It doesn't say that. Or any other denomination. The Bible clearly teaches that in order for you to get to heaven, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. He is your Savior. He actually says in his own word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. John 14:6. You see, so it is disclosure right here. Those people who go to heaven is only Christians. Who are Christians? Are people who've been saved by, and they're saved, they accept Jesus as their Savior. They're Christians. They've been forgiven. That's why the word Christians, followers of Christ. If you never had a time in your life where you repent of your sin and call on Jesus to save you, let me remind you that you can do that today. You say, well, you can do that in the privacy of your own home. Call upon Jesus to save you. With that in mind, let us see what this disclosure looked like as the saints of God meet together. Listen, family business, the Christians. Non-Christians are part of the family. Listen, there's two types of people in this world. Is the children of this world,
yep.
And there is the children of God. All right? There are many children of God throughout the world, but they are the children of the world. The children of the world belong to the world. Okay? Now, letter A, disclosing process. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul tells us how we build and on the foundation will pass under the microscope of the Lord in that day. The whole idea here in this verse is that when the Lord saved your soul, He placed you on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since the very moment you were saved, you have been building your life. Now, this life can either be a thing of glory to the Lord or can be a thing of disgrace and shame to the Lord. You build in your life. And this, since the moment you got saved, you were made a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, you did. From that moment on, you have the opportunity of having a life or living a life that glorifies your Savior or living a life that brings disgrace to His name. Okay? You either way, you have a choice to do that. Again, let me remind you that though you are saved, you are still making choices here on earth. The Lord gave you all the gave you and I the privilege of making choices. Unfortunately, our choices many times are not very honorable to the Lord. But let me tell you, you make your choices. You make your choice to follow God. You make your choice to follow your self-intuitions. That's a choice that we make. But in the end, when we get to that day of family business, how you serve your Savior will be displayed for the whole family to see. Okay? So when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will answer how we have built our lives. Again, from the moment you were saved. How you have built your Christian life. Now, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Does this mean that we Christians are going to be charged by the Lord? In Paul's day, in every city, there was a place called the Bema, or the judgment seat. It was from this raised platform, usually in the center of town, that announcements were made, judgment were rendered, and commandment and commendations handed out. It is a place that, so to speak, the public will come around and rewards. I mean, actually, the Greeks used that too in the Olympics. But it would be a seat if it was competitions. The people who get around that Bema seat, that platform, so to speak, and would be there, and their rewards would be given for what they accomplished. But also was used for other things. They were used for announcements, for commenting, all kinds of things that they used. Maybe it was called a Bema seat. So Paul, when he penned these words down, he used that analogy to convey a message so people could understand. Unfortunately, today many people don't get it. There was at the Bema seat that rewards were given out to the winners of the Greek games. Like I said, it was there that the crowns were given to them. All public proclamation, like I said, from this Bema seat was given also. So we must not think that it was only a place for fear and trembling. Certainly some were rebuked, when they were there, but many others were rewarded and blessed. Jesus Christ was sit there in the Bema seat. It would give rewards to his children. So one by one, family business, we will go to the Bema seat. So the Bema, or judgment seat of Christ, is the place where family business will take place and rewards will be given to many saints. Now, I don't want you to be concerned or scared about the name judgment seat here. Even though it says judgment seat, no judgment, like I said in the beginning, will be given to God's children. There are two issues that will be addressed on the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, there will be two issues that will not, as the thing, will not be addressed in the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, your salvation will not be an issue. At the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat of Christ, the issue is not salvation. Listen, the very fact that you didn't have it tells you that you already saved. Okay? It will not be an issue if you saved or you lost. No, you are saved, you are a child of God, and you're there in a family business. Otherwise, if you were not saved, you wouldn't be there. All right? So salvation is not an issue. Your salvation was forever taken care of at the moment of your conversion. So there are many denominations out there that teach that you can lose your salvation. I mean, that's not biblical. That's not in the Bible. You don't find that in the Bible, like, oh, if I sin, I lose my salvation. No, if you sin, you lost your fellowship with God. Yeah. And you need to repent of your sin so you can restore your fellowship back with your Savior. Okay? Now, number two. So number one, your salvation is not be an issue. Number two, your sin will not be an issue. People ask me this question often. I'm saved from my sin, but what about the sins that I will commit after I got saved? Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? Oh, confess it to the Lord. Don't leave it there. Confess it. Oh, you know, when I go to the Bema seat, all my sins are going to be exposed. No, it's not been saved. It's nailed to the cross. Your sin's not being an issue. It's family business. Jesus is not there to judge you. He's there to reward you.
Amen.
You see the difference? Jesus said that Bema seat is there to reward you, not to judge you. Judgment are for those who don't belong to the family of God in hell. Listen, folks, hell is a real place. And let me tell you, Those of you on social media, you never received Jesus as your Savior, run to Jesus, because hell is not a place you want to go. So the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with judgment, but with rewards. What will be about how we use the responsibilities, privilege, and opportunities we were given to the Lord by the Lord Jesus Christ as we journey through this world. Perhaps it would help us to remember that every born-again believer is a steward. That is, we are the servants of God, and we are stewards of what God has given us. Listen, you are born with abilities. You have abilities that I don't have. I have abilities that you don't have. But let me tell you this. At the moment of salvation, God gave you a gift. To some Christians, they give more than once, but at least he gave you one. No, you are a steward of that gift. You know what that means? That means you are responsible for that gift. What are you doing with that gift is between you and God. But that gift, at the Bema seat of Christ, God will ask you for that. What you do with the gift that I give you? Listen, that's why it's important. When we do something for the Lord, we don't expect a pat on the back and say, good, we did a good job. No. We do for, even in the workplace, who you work for? For your boss or for God? Don't you know that if you work for the Lord, you're given a wonderful testimony to the world that you are a good worker? It is a shame that when a Christian person, I hope none of us will call that, and a person comes to you and says, you are a lazy worker. That's a bad testimony of who we are as Christians. Yep. That's right. So because let me tell you this, especially if they know you are a Christian and if they see what you do, and guess what? They don't only make mockery of you, but when they make mockery of you, they mock your God as well. So perhaps it would help us to remember, like, we are stewards, like I said. He has given us 24 hours every day. He has given us money. He has blessed us with gifts and abilities to use for his glory. He has given us responsibilities for service and for ministry. So the Lord Jesus has entrusted us with his business, and he will require that each one of us, or each one of his stewards, give an account at the Bema seat of Christ. So the Bible tells us that we are like stewards. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It also says that as stewards we are to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. We will answer for the lives that we are living in this world as the stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's family business. I'm just trying to get you there where we're going tonight. Let it be the division process. Look what it says in verse 12. Of our text. Now, if any man build up on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. According to these verses, there are two categories of materials on which we use to construct our spiritual house. Let me tell you now. When you're a Christian, guess what? God gave you the choice. Which way you going? You're going to build upon that foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us. Now, it says right here, if you use to build on top of that foundation, it says foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, let's divide these two. It's two in here, two different categories. So, others simply don't use the right, let me put it like, go back a little bit. Some use the right materials and build a strong spiritual house. Others simply use the right type of materials and build for themselves a poor and weak house. Don't you ever heard the thing, you get what you pay for? You go to the store, if you want some cheap stuff, you buy cheap because you're cheap and you don't want to buy good quality, so it won't last you long. Let's look at these things right here. Number one, the good building materials. So think about it. All right, you are a steward of Jesus Christ. They give you something to do, and it is your responsibility. Now, what are you doing with that? Look what it says, verse 12. Gold, silver, and precious stones. This refers to the things that are precious, valuable, beautiful, and hard to come by. These are also things that survive and even thrive in the fire. These materials pictures the kind of works that the Lord will bless in that day, and that kind of works that every believer should have in his life and her life as they journey through this world. So if we have these kinds of work, these kinds of precious stones, when we go to the Bema seat of Christ and it will be filtered in the fire, guess what? They're going to survive. then you have your rewards. Listen, it's not what we do and the quantity of work that we do for the Lord, is how you do it. You get that? It's not how much you do and the quantity of work, is how you do it. The condition of your heart and your mind when you serve your God. I'm not talking about just when you serve Him at a church. It's serving Him when you get up in the morning until you go to sleep at night. It happens from the way you treat people, the way that you treat your family, the way you treat others, the way you behave. All those things that you do, you're serving God because you are a steward of Him. And it happens in the church, the same thing. Because we have a tendency to think, it's only the things I do at church. No, it's not. You are a Christian 24/7, not only when you come to church.
Right.
Okay? We come to church to praise the Lord, to worship Him, to encourage one another. But there's more to the Christian life than that. So we see this good stones. Number two, we see the worthless building materials. Look what it says, verse 12. Wood, hay, and stubble. This refers to those things that are temporary, ugly, cheap, and easy to come by. It would speak of things that are done out of the will of God, or things that are done out of a mean, unkind, complaining spirit. Some people, that's what they do. They're professional complainers. Everything they do is complaining. They always have a question mark for everything. And in the end, they say, ain't God good? Well, you think those works are going to last? So I'm trying to, so you can understand in this family business what's going to happen. So Jesus knows just how does one determine the difference between works that will burn and works that will endure the flames of judgment? They may be easier to answer by telling you of some areas that are sure to be judged by the Lord. Let me tell you this. You say, it really don't matter. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you this. It will matter when we there and we see other brothers and sisters getting the rewards, and we know that we could have got the same rewards and we miss out the opportunity. It won't matter now because our sinful body, the way we think, but it will matter when we get to heaven and earth is gone. It will matter. And we will cry because we missed the opportunity. So what are these things that we could do? I don't know if you have this on your outline, but let me give it to you. How we treat others. How we exercise authority over others. How we use our God-given abilities. How we use our money. How we spend our time. How much we suffer for the Lord. How we run the race God has chosen for us. How effective we can control the old nature. How many souls we witness and win for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if you don't have this in your outline, if you want to print out, I'll give it to you because I got all the verses here. I can give it to you. You can look to yourself. How we react to temptations. How much we love the rapture. How faithful we are to the word of God and to the flock of God. I got so many verses here. If you want, let me, like I said, remind me, I'll give it to you. So let us see. We see our ministry process. See this in verse 13 here. Verse 13 tells us that all of us, all of our works, not our sins, for we have been forgiven, will be put to the fire. Somehow the Lord will apply the fire of His judgment to the things we did in this life, and they will be made manifest. I mean, everybody would see it. The word means that they will be made known publicly. So my works as a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that day when family is all together, all of you will see it. So if I preach to you with the wrong intentions, it will be burned in the fire. So it will be exposed. And nobody's going to look at other people and go make fun of them. That's family business. We are in heaven. That old sinful nature is gone. I'm glad it will be gone. Otherwise, we'd be like laughing and mocking and making fun of everybody. So look at my gift. I got a crown of rejoicing. Look, what crown do you have? That won't happen that day. I believe we'll be rejoicing when we see a brother and sister with the crown. Amen. We'll be crying because we missed the opportunity. See, there are other things. There are others who think that do things, and others see them and say that they they do them to be seen. However, beyond their works, let me put it this way. I went ahead of myself here a little bit. There's those kinds of works. There be works that there are many people that work for the Lord, and they do all kinds of things for God. But let me tell you, be thankful for what they do and express thankfulness for what they do. But only God knows the intentions. Okay? Only God knows the intentions. Because I believe that day, we think that, oh, this person is a super Christian. It will be there. And no way to be seen. But a person may be a grandmother that sit in a pew and just open her Bible. And in that day, she would be rewarded greatly. And you say, how that happened? The intentions of the heart.
Yep. Right.
How we did what you did for the Lord. What I'm trying to say here is that you cannot look around and prejudge people. Only God knows the conditions of the heart. So number one, a time of family disclosure. Number two, a time for rewards. If any man work abideth which he had built thereupon, he shall receive, look what it says, a reward. So letter A, the potential. The first part of the verse, chapter 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man work abideth, tells us that there is a potential that some part of our works will remain after they have been put through the fire. So we might go through our work might go through the fire, and we might have a leftover of what the whole thing that burned out. We might have like a fort of what we did. It might be there. Wouldn't be a glorious thing to see of how you did for Jesus actually remain the whole thing, all the work that we did, all the efforts. And Lord, if I could have done more for you. Oh, Lord, if I could have done more for you. You know, I tell you what. Maybe it happened to you. It happened to me many times. People say, why are you going to church all the time? Well, you're wasting your time. Don't you have a life to live? Well, they go on and on and on. They don't understand what they're saying.
That's right.
Because everything that they have and everything that they will do will stay on this earth, and they will have hell as their future. The other way around, we Christians, we have heaven to gain. And future to gain with our Savior. I'm not saying this in a mean spirit. I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is what the Bible teaches. It would be a glorious day to see some of what we did actually remained, go through the fire and remain. I think that is the first, that in this family meeting, that tears of sadness will be realized. Listen, it's not be tears because of judgment. It will be tears because we missed the opportunity. So when you get discouraged, when you get say, what's the use? Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because on that day, what's going to matter in your mind is the works that you have to present before the Lord. And you will say, Lord, I hope these works would go through the fire and remain. Because I want to get these rewards so I can give it back to you. And when we miss the opportunity because we see a brother and sister that have those rewards, that's when tears come down. And the Bible says that Jesus will come and wipe the tears away from our face. What a love, isn't it? What a love. Let it be, we see the promise fulfilled. Those that we have done for the Lord here on earth that remain after going through the fire of purification will be the basis for rewards. The Lord Jesus would honor us by giving us rewards for the things that we have done for him, that we have done in his name. What are these rewards? All right, are you ready for them? What are those rewards? Those rewards come in names of crowns. The first crown is the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:24. This crown will be rewarded for our individual faithfulness to the Lord. Let me tell you, even if you're the only one, be faithful to God because your faithfulness will be rewarded. Listen, in season, out of season, when you feel like, when you don't feel like, keep serving the Lord because you will be rewarded for it.
Amen.
I don't feel like getting up today. Oh, I am so... Get up. The flesh is weak. But you can do it. Number two is another crown, the crown of life. This is a crown given for a person who endures and overcomes temptation. James chapter 1 verse 12. See, God even says, I know temptation is hard. I know what you go through to resist temptation. If you do it, I have a reward for you. Isn't that good? Jesus said, I have a reward for you if you endure temptation. Oh, French crawlers, that's it, you know. Let me tell you, number three, the crown of rejoicing. The crown will be rewarded to those who constantly go out of their comfort zone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. I don't know. Listen, maybe you never experienced this, but let me tell you. 2020 years later, you witness to someone, you see that person bow their head and call upon Jesus to save their soul. I'll tell you why, if you've never been there, you will rejoice with their joy that is, you know, I can't explain it to you, about someone 2020 years later believing in the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've been there. I see people cry. I see people smiling. I see people jump. I see people do all kinds of things. And I rejoice with them. I have cried with people myself. Amen. And let me tell you, the crown of rejoicing were given to those people. You go out of their way to witness to the lost. Number four, the crown of righteousness. This crown will be given to those who will anticipate and live in the light of the return of Jesus. In other words, this crown will be given to those who strive to live in path of righteousness. Let me tell you this, that's not a very popular way to live today. We live in a country today, in a world today, that there's no more common sense anymore. If you have common sense, you're out of date, so to speak. I said, go back to your little hole somewhere because you don't make sense with us. We look at the world, we say, there's no common sense anymore. But God says, I have a crown for you, crown of righteousness. Number five is a crown of glory. This will be given to the faithful minister who give themselves to lead and feed the flock of God. And let me tell you, I hope I can get this crown. I'm not trying to be selfish. I pour my heart every time I preach because I love my Savior. And let me tell you, it'll be a wonderful day. And you get there, you receive that crown. And all those who know me will say, yay, rejoicing together. Because I tell you what, the name of Jesus needs to be proclaimed. Amen. And we live in a world today, many people are not proclaiming Jesus the way they should proclaim Jesus. But see, those rewards given in that day when the family meets together comes in the form of five crowns. And it will be a wonderful day. I mean, let me tell you, there will be many Christians who will have no crowns to give to Jesus. They have no crowns. They will be rejoicing with others, but they will cry because at that moment they will understand they missed the opportunity. Listen, you can rejoice, you can witness, you can pray, you can live a righteous life, you can do all these things. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You can do it. It is a choice that you and I make. I can preach until tomorrow, but the choice is yours to make. I cannot live your Christian life. I cannot be a steward what God give you. He gives you something, he wants to be a steward of that. It's your responsibility to be a good steward of what God has given you. Number three, it's a time of great disappointments. Look what it says. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Folks, in every family reunion, there is almost all the time those in the family who are just have a good time, and some others, for some reason or another, get disappointed because they want more. Ever been there? I mean, it's like, I remember when my father-in-law passed away, and my wife and her two sisters, they went to divide whatever was from the father. My wife and I, we prayed about it. I said, Lord, we're not here for the taking. We are here for peace. So when they divide these things, help my wife, there wouldn't be no strife among them. Because sometimes it's easy for us to get all that strife because of material things. There's no need for that. It's just material things. But some people put a lot of emphasis on that, and they want as much as they can get. So letter A, it would be the express sadness. Revelation 21:4 talks about that. So while some of our works will remain, others will be destroyed before our very eyes, there will be a sadness for the missed opportunity that we forever is gone. Look, go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. I think this is a very sobering verse, and we need to look at this verse right there. Why is that? Because I explained this to you, and I want to explain it again, but let me go and say it again. We will, at that moment, we will understand that we did miss the opportunity when we here on this earth to be the steward that God intended us to be. And look what it says. Look at the love of our God in this passage. It says in Revelation 21:14, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I tell you what, even the Lord looking at his stewards, and many of us won't be good stewards, and many of us will cry, and Jesus will come and wipe our tears away. I tell you what, if you don't understand love, that's love. That is wonderful love. The God of all creation, the one we should bow our heads and our knee, bend our knee before him, will come and wipe our tears away. Let it be the price lost. Look what it says in verse 15 in our text. He shall suffer loss. This means that the believer will lose the rewards he could have earned in his life as he should, as a good steward, but he didn't. He chose not to. I don't know about you, but I want to be as faithful as possible so that I might win every reward that I can. That's my goal. I tell you what, I told my wife, even if it's just me and you alone, we will keep serving the Lord until we go home. That's our goal. Nothing is going to change. We are committed to serve the Lord. As much as I'm committed to my wife until death do us part, I'm committed to my Savior until I go home. And I think that's a choice that you and I make. I cannot make that choice for you. But I want to remind you of this. You are a steward of something that God has given you. Let me ask you the question. What are you doing what God has given you to do? I don't know what he tells you to do. I mean, it is general things that he expects of all of us. Faithfulness, trust, obedience. That's God gave us to do that. But there are specific things that he gave it to you, and you are a steward of that gift. What are you doing with that gift? Maybe it's the gift of teaching. Maybe it's the gift of hospitality. Maybe it's the gift of forgiveness. Maybe it's the gift of singing, or the gift of playing. I don't know what it is, but you know. What are you doing with that gift? You see, the price lost. I mean, right now might not make a difference, but it will make a difference when we are at the Bema seat of Christ. Let us see the promise. Notice again that the believer who may see his works burn will still be saved. I cannot stress this enough, that the issue here in this passage is not about salvation, okay? The issue right here is not about salvation. Salvation is done at one time in your life. Listen, I know sometimes people doubt if they're saved or not. If you doubt, settle the issue. Don't live in doubt. Settle the issue. But let me tell you, here in this passage, not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about family business. You inherit because you belong to God. It is a promise. Shall be saved. I can't do this. I can do it as please and live any way I want. It doesn't matter. Like that's the mindset of many people. But let me tell you, if we think about who we are and what Jesus have done for us, let me tell you, I think our desire will be serve Him. To serve Him until He calls us home. I tell you what, and I conclude with this. I remember when I, before I got saved, my wife was working with a young lady, and she told my wife that the church that she was going to, and we were not going to church at all. We were just Christians in name. We used to go to church when somebody died or a wedding. That was our way of going to church. And she told my wife, she said, "Oh, I go to church all day Sunday. I'll go Wednesday night." I remember scratching my head and say, my wife said that to me, and I said, "Look, how can you go to church every day on Sunday? Oh, goodness." And anyway, we used to joke about it and stuff. We used to do, believe me, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Then we got saved. Then I go to church. Then the pastor used to say, "We will meet Sunday night, 6 o'clock. I hope you're here." And you, it's not like it was strange to me because I already heard of it. Then we have Bible study Wednesday night. But he never came to me and said, "You ought to be at church. I want you." It was the Spirit of God convicting. And when that hour came, oh, goodness, it was just poo in the mind. It's like, you know, your brothers and sisters are meeting. What are you doing at home? And I found myself doing exactly what the others were doing. And my wife and I, we sometimes talk about this and we say, "Isn't that funny the way God has a sense of humor?" I saved you now, and look what you're doing now. But I tell you what, I don't regret the moments that I took out of my life to come and be with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Never regret it. Actually, when I was battling cancer, I looked at my condition, and I used to say to my wife, "I need to go to church." And she said, "Are you sure?" "I need to go to church because it might be my last day. I might not be there next week, so I'm going today." Amen. And let me tell you, we are healthy. But let me tell you, all of us here, any of you watching us on social media, we might be here at church. It might be our last time. Right. Not trying to scare you, but life is fragile. Handle with care because we can lose it at any given moment. We never know when we wake up in the morning what the day may bring. So we need to trust the Lord and work. Now, you building up on that foundation, what are you putting on top of that foundation? Cheap stuff? Or you want the precious stones that are going to last when you go to the Bema Seat of Christ? I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the Bema Seat. I'm looking forward to that day. Think about it. Oh, the church saints, all of them there, and Jesus there, and our name will be called, and our rewards will be given, and you anticipating, "Lord, yes, all the singing, all the service, all that for you, Lord," and a reward will be given. But let me tell you, in the end, when we realize that we don't deserve anything, I think the greatest joy will be when we give it back to Jesus and say, "You deserve it, not me, Lord. It's because of you that I am even here. You deserve it." And I think that day is going to make sense.